Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this hump day. Thank God it's already Wednesday, middle of the week here. That means for us, we have services tonight. You are invited. We'd love to see you. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast of WGOD, I invite you to church tonight, 6 o'clock. You guys still got 25 minutes to make it tonight. 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. No matter what time you tuned in, God bless you. You are tuned in to God's frequency, WGOD. God's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. The word today is going to come here through, directly from the Lord Jesus. We're in the Gospel of Mark. My associate pastor, Darren Salon, is preaching this sermon. This was an outstanding sermon he just preached on Sunday, and it's entitled, Bring Him to Me. We're looking right after the transfiguration. The Lord and four from his inner circle are coming down from the mountain, and they ran into someone demon-possessed, and the disciples were unable to cast the demon out of him. And that's the backdrop for this. And this is the second part of this message now. Let's get back into this word here from today. Bring him to me.
Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I mean, you could say it in another way. You could say it like this. Lord, I want to believe. And there's a part of me that does want to believe. And does believe. And there's a part of me that doesn't. Help the part that doesn't. Help me. I mean, this. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter by how this man responds. Now you're getting it right. I want to believe, he says. Help my unbelief. Have you ever been there? I have. All right, you're still with me. Now we come to the third point, which is really the bulk of this sermon. We're probably almost halfway there. But I would think it's the most important part of today's sermon. So as Foghorn Leghorn would say, listen here, boy. We're getting to the good stuff. We've been talking about it all month long in Sunday school for the last month, maybe longer. We were talking about it this morning. We see this as a pivotal point in Christ's ministry where things are starting to change. He just came down from a mountain where he was transfigured, and his glory was revealed and shone forth. There he met with Moses and Elijah, and they spoke with him about his departure. He has just started to speak to his disciples about his suffering and dying. And it confuses them. They don't understand. It seems that his patience is starting to wear thin. He knows the cross is getting closer and closer. And there seems to be a greater sense of urgency with Jesus. Less focus on miracles and more focus on teaching. And as we're getting closer and closer to the new covenant. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this, that my focus was on verse 29. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And verse 19, bring him to me. With the start of the new covenant, Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Romans 8:34. It is Christ who died, yea, rather who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Okay, so we see that the disciples could not deliver this boy. But you can't say that they didn't try, right? It seems like they did everything they knew to do, but with no results. And they're frustrated with themselves. Jesus certainly appears to be frustrated with them. Not with them. Jesus seems to be appears to be frustrated with all of them there. It is then Jesus says, bring him to me. It's just the title of this sermon. Okay, I'm just about done with my introduction. I'm kidding. Now we'll get started. Bring him to me, Jesus says. Simple solution, right? Sure. When he's standing right there, it's a simple solution, right? He's 10 feet away from you. But how do we do that when he's seated at the right hand of God? Answer? Prayer, fasting. Listen to this. Charles Spurgeon writes, despairingly, the poor, disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one when the parent, in faith, obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. Can I get an amen there? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one recept for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. For more agonizing prayer on behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into the world of sin. In the days of their youth, we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit which will neither pray aright nor hear the voice of God. But Jesus still commands, bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin and foam with enmity against God. Then when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers his people to be driven into a corner that they may experimentally know how necessary he is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength. And this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our mornings need may be, Let it be a strong current. Bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to him while he waits to meet us. Probably got an idea where I'm going with this, right? I'm not done yet. Listen to this. I got this from Precept Austin, which I have found to be a wonderful website in my studies. Listen to this. I don't believe in God and I won't go, Mark said. Amy struggled to swallow the lump in her throat. Her son had changed from a happy boy to a surely an uncooperative young man. Life was a battleground, and Sunday had become a day of dread as Mark refused to go to church with the family. Finally, his despairing parents consulted a counselor who said, Mark must make his own faith journey. You cannot force him into the kingdom. Give God space to work. Keep praying and wait. Amy waited and prayed. One morning, the words of Jesus that she had read echoed through her mind. Jesus' disciples had failed to help a demon-possessed boy. But Jesus had the answer. Bring him to me. The sun shone through the window at Amy's side, making a pool of light on the floor. If Jesus could heal in such an extreme situation, then surely he could also help her son. She pictured herself and Mark standing in that light with Jesus. Then she mentally stepped back, leaving her son with the one who loved him even more than she did. Every day, Amy silently handed Mark to God, clinging to the assurance that he knew Mark's needs and would in his time and in his way work in his life. Bring them to Jesus and leave them with Jesus. Get out of the way. And don't bring them to Jesus and then stand there and supervise Jesus on what your child needs best and how he should do his job. You bring him to Jesus and you leave him with him. Do you trust him? I've got a note here. Have you surrendered this thing to Jesus? I don't know what it is. I'm not reading your mail. Maybe something else. Different person, every person in this room. I'm not reading your mail. I don't know. Have you brought it to him? And have you left it with him? Now, listen to this. Possibly, listen to this. I got this from at Godly Waiting. Just to give you something to think about. It says you don't have to always pray until the walls fall down. You don't always have to beg until you have no words left. You don't always have to be in battle mode. What if surrender is the key? What if rest is what God is asking? What if your ability to let it go is the very act that God uses to bring the promise. Sometimes the promise comes right when we're letting go. And maybe surrender is the final test. What if your prayer be like this? Bring him to me. Bring him to him. What if your prayer be like this? Father, I lift up my beloved to you, knowing that you love him even more than I do, and you understand just what you do need to do to meet his need. I commit him to your care. Prayer is a voice of faith, trusting that God knows and he cares. I often hear the times of my old pastor. I hear his voice in my head sometimes. He used to say, man, he said, I'd see people come to the altar. He said, I'd call for prayer, you know, and people come up to the altar, you know, here they come down the aisle and they got this, all this baggage of stuff that they're dragging up to the altar, you know, bringing it to him. Bring it up here. They set it down. Whew. We pray. Hallelujah. Amen. They pick it up and turn around and walk right back to their seat. Bring it to him. And leave it with him. And trust that he is able to do all things. All things are possible with God. Leave it. Bring it to him and leave it to him. Makes any sense? Prayer and fasting. How bad do you want it? Bring it to him. Amy brought it daily. Bringing him to you daily. Now, some would say that prayer and fasting, well, that's the first step. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. If you're a married man, 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I would say that's the first step. Right?
Yes.
Calvin's commentary writes, the first step to prayer is to raise it above all opposition. Think about that. The first step to prayer is to raise your prayer above all opposition to it. And also, faith must be so formed as to be capable and prepared for receiving the desired favor. Now, I do want you to notice that as the man drew his son to Jesus, that demon threw a fit. Right? And most of you have heard me say at least 100 times that more times than not, when you start praying for someone, things get worse before they get better. Don't get discouraged. Keep praying. No matter what it looks like, This demon's throwing a fit. He brings him to Jesus. The demon's throwing a fit. Now, everybody that's looking at this, everybody else that's looking at this are probably thinking, oh, no. Looks like things are falling apart. They're not falling apart. They're falling together. Know this, that when you start praying for someone, I don't know the percentages, but I know it's high just by what I've experienced. That when you bring someone to Christ, that things look like they just got worse. But they're not falling apart. They're falling together. The demon is throwing a fit because his days are numbered. Sometimes prayer requires an immediate response, but most oftentimes answered prayer comes after some serious knee time. Knee time. And I think I've coined a new phrase, because knee time is the time. Most oftentimes, answered prayer comes after some serious knee time. I have noticed in my prayer life that most of the times when I've started off in prayer over something or someone, and I may not be sure of what the will of God is on this. A lot of times when I start off in prayer for someone, I'm absolutely positive of what my will is, but I am not quite sure what God's will is. Nevertheless, I pray and I seek the will of God in my prayers. And I've noticed that over a period of time, and sometimes over a long period of time, we're talking about months or even years of prayer. And I noticed from the start to the end, or the receiving of my prayer starts to change. The Holy Spirit working within me, moving me, pushing me, if you will, closer and closer to the will of God. I notice my prayer will start to change. I'll start off praying this way, and then it starts to change. And then before you know it, I'm praying another way. And before you know it, I'm just, Lord, thy will be done. I'm good with whatever. And I get my will lined up. Well, it's not lined up. It's like God's will and my will collide. When I finally get my will to be in line or run back into the will of God, then I get answered prayer. And he has done the work along the way where I can see that my prayer starts to change. I've been in prayer sometimes for something for months. And by the time I put the prayer time into it, by the time I got done praying, I didn't even want what I was praying for at the beginning. Never mind. Because he started to change my will to line up with his will. And the prayer will be answered when God's will be done, not my will. Does that make sense to anybody in here? Yes. I'm not ignoring this side of the room. I'm just somehow or another be drawn over here to the. Does that make sense over here? Okay. Here's what I do know. I always come out a better man. How many of you know that sometimes in the continual prayer for deliverance for someone, you might get delivered yourself? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to put in the knee time? Are you willing to bring him to him? And most people would say, oh, yeah, I'll bring him to him. Oh, yeah. But most people stand there and supervise Jesus on how to treat and how to respond to the needs of their children, because they're their children, Lord, and I know better. And that's where you're mistaken. He knows better. Bring it to him and leave it with him. Make sense? I'm starting to sweat. Okay, it must be making sense. E. Stanley Jones writes, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out, all right, Captain, if I throw out a boat hook from a boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? I mean, it's a pretty simple analogy, right? But it's perfect. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Right? Make sense? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we bring our loved ones to you. Those that are lost, wayward, troubled in mind, backsliding, rebellious. Those whom it seems the enemy has complete control of. Those who are sick and diseased. Those who have lost hope. We bring them to you, Lord. And we leave them with you, Lord. And we pray that thy will be done, Lord. Lord, we also bring to you our tragedies, our broken hearts, our despair, our unbelief, our grief, Lord, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, and anger. We bring it to you, Lord. And we leave it with you, Lord. And we say, have your way, Lord. Lord, we love you. And thank you for loving us. And we praise you. And it's in your holy name that we ask. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.